Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Monday morning. Titans lose to the Colts, 38-30. They dropped to 3-12 on the season. And to help us talk more about that, we head to our 102.5, the game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Corey Curtis from News 2. Corey, good morning. How are you?
I am salivating at the opportunity to watch the Titans play the Jaguars next weekend.
Oh, I bet. I mean, I think we all are. I think we're all looking forward to that game and the way that that one's going to shake out down there in Jacksonville and Duval, where, as we know, Corey, you're very popular down there. I'm looking forward to if there's a video tribute for you as well. Looking forward to that.
Well, you know, there'll probably be about 18 people there to see it. So
probably not going to be a whole lot of folks in the stadium for that one.
What do you think you can get a ticket for?
I mean, that's a great question. It is Christmas time, so maybe, you know, people ain't working. Maybe there's nothing else. It's going to be like 74 and sunny down there too, Corey. Great weather day.
That's better.
Yeah, absolutely. So the Titans give up 335 yards on the ground yesterday, Corey.
Wow.
And it was not a college football game. It was, in fact, a National Football League game. How do you let something like that happen, Corey, against a team that, quite frankly, has not really been able to throw the football all year long?
That's the staggering part to me, Robbie, is you went into this game knowing that if you could stop the run, that every time the quarterback threw the football, there was a 50-50 proposition whether he could actually get it there. And, you know, so you just knew you couldn't let them beat them with their legs, whether it be the running back or the quarterback. And, you know, the epic holes that were there, and look, I'm not an expert on, you know, fits and gaps and all the stuff the coaches will talk about, but the obvious misplays where there was just no one there. There's a difference between, you know, there just being this massive surge that blows the whole hole open, which happened a few times, but also there were just times the guys didn't get there. I mean, you know, I thought the safeties were late getting there. You know, you had young linebackers who I think, you know, missed a few times, although Cedric Gray had 15 tackles in the game. It was staggering how they failed to respond. I mean, the opening 70-yard run to start the second half, I think, is the most alarming. I mean, just looks like you're not ready to play, to come out and just give up a 70-yarder right off the bat. We can joke all we want about Jeffrey Simmons and nobody runs on the Tennessee Titans because we've seen people run on the Tennessee Titans. But largely, this has been a group that has been good against the run. And I know T'Vondre Sweat was out for a bit, but that doesn't excuse this epic failure that took place on the field. I mean, it was bad. I mean, I'm trying to encapsulate how bad it is. I can't. It was that bad.
Okay, so what does it mean? And what do these last two games mean beyond we're all looking at Tankathon? What do these games mean to Amy Adams Strunk because she's watching them?
Well, I mean, I think number one is, are they still playing for the coach? I mean, that's always what you're looking for this time of the year. You know, are they still responding to what he says? You know, is it that they're just not that talented, or are they not responding to the coach, or does the coach, you know, have a bad game plan and not know what he's doing? I mean, they need to compete, and they need to play. They need to not embarrass the franchise, especially when they put on the Oiler uniforms the last game against the Texans, and against a Texans team that very well might be sitting their starting quarterback. So, you know, I think it is important. You know, we all think, you know, a one and done, you know, isn't likely, but if the last two are like, you know, the first 35 minutes of this game, you know, I think, you know, I can like Brian Callahan all I want. The results are the results, and you got to look at them.
Yeah, I mean, it was, you're down 38-7 at one point in that game yesterday against a team that, as we all know, is not very good. Like, it's not like nobody's going to confuse this Colts team for, you know, the Peyton Manning-led Colts out there. Like, yeah,
they have a quarterback who can't complete passes.
Yeah, I mean, they're an okay football team that you made at some point yesterday look like a Super Bowl contender. And look, you know, we could spend all day long talking about how much of a disaster this season has been. The concerning part for me, Corey, right now is it feels like it's just getting worse. Like there's not improvement. And, you know, you can blame that all on the quarterback position if you want to. And Rudolph wasn't very good yesterday, but, you know, they got punked by Washington. They scored 6 points against Jacksonville. You know, the Cincinnati game was what it was with Will Levis turning the ball over. And then you have this yesterday. Like, that to me does not speak very well for the job the coach is doing right now.
Well, I think what gets me, Robbie, is what I said last night. This team seems to invent a new way to lose each week. You know, 1 week, Levis misses open targets in the end zone. You know, this week, they inexplicably can't stop the run. You know, in another week, you know, special teams absolutely explodes. You know, we always hear about people saying, oh, we took turns. They're literally taking turns, you know, whether it be the quarterback or the offensive line or the defense or the special teams. Each week there seems to be some unit that just fails. And it's hard to wrap your brain around. Because you're like, well, you know, oh, we think the defensive staff's doing a good job. Well, are they? Oh, we think, you know, this group is getting better. Oh, are they? You know, Levis had a good run for four good games, and then he didn't. And there's zero consistency. And I think that is the biggest problem, you know, for this football team right now, is that there's no consistency in just about any part of their game.
All right, so we've been talking quarterbacks, Corey. Not these two quarterbacks, these two with the exact same QB rating, but just right now, off top of your head, you've got you have to come up with a quarterback solution for the Titans for next year. Could be the draft, because they could be as high as three, or it could be any of these veterans, none of whom seem that appealing to me. But what's your first blush answer?
My first blush answer is there is no great solution for them. I don't believe there's a long-term solution in this offseason. And so my first reaction is if Callahan and crew are back, he's got to go with somebody he trusts. And if he's going to go with somebody he trusts, it's going to be somebody he's coached before who he believes can operate his system at a mediocre to better enough level to not lose him football games. And so I immediately go to Derek Carr and Jake Browning. You know, I know they'd have to trade for Browning, and I know Carr would have to come available, but I think that's probably going to happen with where the Saints are with their salary cap. And so that's where I think that my eyes go towards first. Not saying that they should or saying that they will. That's just reading tea leaves and where I would start my investigation.
So, Corey, Tennessee gets smoked by Ohio State on Saturday, 42-17. I mean, the game felt over pretty quickly in that one. So, on one hand, you know, Tennessee makes the college football playoff. It's a 12-team playoff. I mean, that was the goal heading into the year, was to get in that thing. They did it. And then they get obliterated by Ohio State once they get there. So, if you're a Tennessee fan, if you're Josh Heupel, like, what's your takeaway from all this as you look forward here as they try to continue to build their program?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, a lot of times you have to fail before you can succeed. I think it sets a bar for you on where you know you need to get to. Because I was astounded watching that football game at how much more athletic and how much more speed it looked like Ohio State had. You guys can tell me I'm crazy, but I just thought Ohio State was light years faster than Tennessee was in that football game.
Yep.
They got the edges at every turn, and Tennessee absolutely got bullied at the line of scrimmage. I mean, just got beat up at the line of scrimmage. And they got outscored 21-0 to start both halves. Okay, that means Ohio State came out and said, we're going to set the agenda, and they did. And then they came out of the locker room at halftime and said, we're going to put this thing away, and they did. I mean, did Tennessee put together, what, one real drive in the football game in the first half?
Yeah.
I mean, that was it. You know, you could say, well, it was 21-10, and they had the football to start the second half. And that's true. But there was never a point where Tennessee was threatening Ohio State in this football game.
Yep, no doubt about it. Corey Curtis from News 2, our guest, joins us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock here on the program. Corey, Merry Christmas to you and your family. We'll talk to you next week.
Well, hopefully this weekend was the last lump of coal we get for a while, but I'm not optimistic.
I'm not either.
We've all been
maybe a couple more lumps.
What did we all do to deserve this?
I mean, we could be in for a special time on Sunday on the road at Jacksonville watching that doozy. We've already had to do it once this year a couple weeks ago. We could be in for another treat on Sunday.
You know what's funny is, like, you see games where the stands are half empty and understand. So what if, like, at this game the press box is empty?
It's like no one's there. We don't need to see this.
Like they just said, this game is not worth covering. We are no one is showing up.
Kaharski just stretching out all over the desk, just like making it his own domain.
Yeah. I can see it.
By the way, guys, if you want to feel better, I just want to throw this out there. You know, we've got some pretty good college basketball around here. Just saying.
You know what? We were just talking about this at the station. Tennessee, number one. You know, Vanderbilt is vastly improved. And those two women's teams can really play.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, people tell me how to do my job, just like I'm sure they tell you how to do their jobs. We talk about things when they're interesting. Vanderbilt women, Tennessee women, they're both interesting right now because they're both scoring 100 points on the reg. Michaela Blake is unbelievable. Pierre is having a sensational season. I can't wait. I mean, I can't remember the last time I could say this. I can't wait to watch those two teams play.
Yeah. That's it. You're getting Rexroad fired
up.
We got
some excitement. I'm getting pumped right now. Let's go.
Boom.
Boom.
That just happened.
Boom. That's things right. are going well. See?
Yeah. Corey, Merry Christmas.
We have to change sports. Oh, we've got hockey tonight.
We do. Corey Curtis joins us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock here on the program. We'll take your reaction, 615-737-1025, our phone number. Titans lose 38-30 to Indianapolis. We'll get more into that. We'll also get into Tennessee's loss to Ohio State in the first round of the college football playoff. All that coming up, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. This week's Nashville's best deal from the Academy in Goodlettsville. More than just a training space, here every class is a journey into the art of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, taught by their dedicated instructors. They have a state-of-the-art facility that offers everything from muscle recovery services to top-tier training equipment. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals to get a $150 month of unlimited classes for just $75. Good deal there for you to take advantage of. Robbie and Rex Row, 1025, 1063 the game. Titans lose 38-30 to the Indianapolis Colts. At one point, we're down 38-7 in that barn burner yesterday. Gave up 335 yards on the ground to the Colts in the rushing attack and the defeat. So, a lot of reaction to that so far today. Joe, I guess my question for you is this. You know, we've talked about Callahan and Carthon ad nauseum at this point, and we're a couple of weeks away from the season mercifully coming to an end and having some clarity on that one way or the other as they move forward here. I would love to, like, if this continues to trend the way it's gone over the last 4 weeks here, where they just, as Corey said, and I think aptly, basically invent new ways to lose games, and it's something different every week. And yesterday it just looks like you just don't have much interest in playing when you give up 335 yards on the ground to the Colts, a team that, by the way, as I pointed out, really can't throw the ball all that well. You have that happen to you yesterday, and it makes me really question what in the world's going on around here? I mean, you got Arden Key after the game talking about, you know, not making any adjustments and the coaching staff and all that stuff. Like, I would love to know if this continues over the next couple of weeks here. Like, what's your takeaway from this if you're Amy Adams Strunk? And how, like, if you make the decision to bring everybody back, like, what's your selling point? Like, what do you say when you get up there at the end of the year if you're Carthon or Callahan to explain the way the back part of this season went from that part of it? I mean, it's one thing to get beat. It's another thing to get beat in some of the ways they've gotten beat over the last few games here. It's just been borderline embarrassing and not worthy of NFL football is what it's been.
Yeah, no, there's no question about it. There's no lipstick on that pig. There's no lipstick available. And, the thing is, although I want to hear from someone other than Brian Callahan, and that badly needs to happen, I mean, the last few weeks are, I mean, this is more of a coaching, right? It's about the coaches, right?
It's about
the football. I mean, we already know that the off-season ads and all that, you know, we basically have known for a long time now, you know, all the failures there or things that didn't come through the way they hoped. But that doesn't. Now we're on to, like, man, this just looks like it's the word of the day, but just a bleep show. And so how bad is it, and what does that say about how bad is it internally, and what does that say about Brian Callahan? You know, I mean, if you're a bad football team and you get to this point where everybody knows the season's over, again, I don't think, you know, teams don't quit and teams don't tank, but obviously it's hard to get, it has to be next to impossible to get the same level of preparation during the week and intensity, like the max intensity you need to win in the NFL, right, from your teams. It has to be hard. But like you said, and like Corey said, when it's just this variety of, like, basically everything at some point has been an issue for this team, that just really doesn't speak well of the football operation. Well, we already know, you know, the issues on the roster, but, like, there's some people who are underperforming still who should be playing better, who are on the field for this team.
Well, I've heard this throughout the year, and I've not really given it a ton of credence, just because I've always thought for the majority of this season that it's really too early one way or another to make the judgment on this. But you'll hear some tights. We've heard from some on our text line throughout the year, certainly on social media while the game's going on, of, well, Brian Callahan's in over his head. And I've thought, I don't know. Like, I don't know that I would agree that Brian Callahan is in over his head. But then you have performances like that yesterday, Joe, that leave everything up to question. Like, is he? Is this too much for him? Too soon? Like, he's a first-time head coach. You know, not everybody's cut out to be a head coach in the National Football League. I'm not saying for sure that Brian Callahan's not cut out to be a head coach. But when you have performances like that yesterday, it gets harder and harder for me to dismiss the people that just say, yeah, he has no idea. Like, he's in over his head, and he's just not cut out for this. It's hard for me to argue against that based on the product that they continue to just shell out there week after week.
Yeah, I don't think that's true, but, I mean, I can't prove it to you, you know? I mean, I don't think that's true based on – I do put stock in how he – has gone about his daily business, you know, publicly, and how he explains things. I think that he has made some mistakes and definitely has to learn from some things this year. I don't think he's completely in over his head, but no, I mean, look, when it gets to this point, I think anything's on the table. I mean, I've seen in the text line today some comments of that effect, and I've seen comments of the effect of, what's going to happen is he's going to get screwed by this, and then he's going to go somewhere else, and we're going to realize, yes, we had a good coach, and he's going to do that somewhere else where they have a roster. You know, that's always possible too.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think he's in over his head, but I don't know that he has any answers right now. And, you know, two more weeks, and although there's really the only stakes, the biggest stakes here are that the Titans need to lose and get the best possible draft pick, but I think there are stakes for him. Even if it's not with Amy, I think it's with the fan base too, right? Because that last game is an example of like how does that happen? You know, a team can't throw, and you just get completely humiliated on defense, which has been, you know, the better part of your team most of this year. So what's in store for the next 2 weeks? I mean, is it just going to be like the, like basically the Titans saying, yes, our culture is rotten, or is anybody going to stand up and fight and look like, you know, competent football team? And yes, I understand they came back yesterday and they put some empty calorie garbage time touchdowns on the board, but that just doesn't mean much at this point.
Does not mean much at all. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get into Tennessee's first round loss in the college football playoff to Ohio State coming up next. Take your thoughts on that as well. And as a part of our 12 days of Christmas, we've got a $100 gift card for A Moment's Peace to give away, located at 9050 Carruthers Parkway in Franklin. You'll also be qualified to win the grand prize of a $1,000 Genesis Diamonds gift card. Be caller number 5, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, broadcasting live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios. Oh, with the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. Tennessee gets destroyed by Ohio State on Saturday night in the first round of the college football playoff. A very uncompetitive first round of the college football playoff. Tennessee, another victim of that. They lose by 25. To Ohio State. Ohio State jumps out to a 21-0 lead in the first quarter. Tennessee did battle back in the second quarter. It was 21-10 at the half. Tennessee got the ball coming out of the third quarter, and you thought, okay, well, it's 21-10, and as bad as it's been in the first half, if you can come out on that first drive of the second half, cut it to 21-17, then maybe you got a ball game on your hands at that point. They did nothing on the first drive coming out of the second half, immediately gave up a touchdown to Ohio State. And it was pretty much all she wrote from there, Rex Road. 42-17, the final. Ohio State played really, really well in this game, obviously. Clearly, Tennessee did not have their best stuff, but, I mean, there's a pretty clear gap between what Ohio State is and what Tennessee is right now based on that game.
Yeah, look, this is this is part of also why Buckeye fans were so upset, rightfully so, and disillusioned with Ryan Day after the Michigan loss, because they know how good their team is. And to go into the Michigan game and say, you know what, let's just kind of just run the ball up the middle and have a nice tight defensive game against Michigan, even though we could throw the ball all over the yard on them and lose that game, the worst loss in the history of the rivalry. Well, they were understandably upset, but Ryan Day knows how to scheme up offense. Ryan Day has an incredibly talented team. And if Will Howard is going to throw the ball like that, which he has not done all year, I mean, that's the X factor in this game that was different. Yeah. Then you're just – I don't think anybody's beating Ohio State. Now, I don't know. We'll see if he continues to do that. He was absolutely on a heater against the Vols. He got in rhythm early, and then it was just – he's out there playing catch. His receivers are getting open against what's still not a good enough set. It's not a championship secondary for Tennessee. It hasn't been one in a long time. And it's not a championship offensive line. And an Ohio State defense loaded with pros kicked their butt up front pretty soundly.
They did. I mean, Nico was under pressure basically from the word go in this game. The offensive line could not stop Ohio State up front. And look, you know, Jermond McCoy, I think, is a really good player. Ricky Gibson has been a good player for them this year, but they haven't seen anything like that receiving core as a whole for Ohio State. And I thought Corey hit the nail on the head. They just look way faster than Tennessee. Like, they did a good job of hitting the edges, both in the running game and, you know, scheming up some stuff in the passing game to get the ball out quickly and get it in the hands of their receivers. And, you know, Tennessee, you could kind of see it early in the game, Joe. Like, they tried to be aggressive and kind of line up and play those guys straight up, and then they got smoked doing that. So then they tried to adjust and just gave Will Howard easy access throws all over the place, and he just couldn't stop him at that point.
Exactly. And Ohio State took advantage of whatever they were going to do. And, you know, you've got plays like Will Brooks. Again, he's been a good story, and he's been a key playmaker for the Vols this year. So let's make sure that's clear. But also, on that Henderson run for a touchdown, he looked like a guy you don't want on the field in a game like that. Yeah. Like, it just took a terrible angle and just, you know, it was just a bad play. I mean, so there are a lot of mistakes like that, and then there's just deficiencies for this team that showed themselves. Have you seen the SEC shorts thing yet on Tennessee?
I have not.
Okay, check that one out for sure. I was disappointed that, you know, Robbie, that Lane Kiffin was all over the committee when Indiana and SMU lost, but he did not tweet at all about the SEC team getting beat by 25.
He did tweet before the game.
Big did he? Fan. Okay.
Yep.
Okay, there you go. And then I was eagerly awaiting his response to, you know, Tennessee shouldn't have been included. We got that on the text line, which is not true. Tennessee absolutely should have been in the field. But they've got work to do to get to the point where they can be an actual contender to win. It's great to get in. I mean, that's a step for the program. It means a lot. A successful season, you said it earlier. You can't argue with that. But they got work to do. I do think that Nico made strides during the course of this year, and now you've got to give him everything he needs and hope that he can take more steps and become a great player.
I think, you know, we've talked about in the secondary and particularly on the offensive line. Like, the offensive line is the big one where they're going to have to – it's going to be really interesting to see what they're able to cobble together for next year. Like, is David Sanders, who's a five-star recruit for them, is he going to have to play immediately? Is he good enough to play immediately? And we'll see. That's not typically been the way that they've gone with their recruits, so we'll see what that looks like for them next year. But, I mean, Cooper Mays is gone. They're losing some players on that offensive line. So how do they restock that? And, Joe, like, I think at wide receiver, they've got to take a long, hard look at what they're doing this offseason, because – you've got Mike Matthews, who's a five-star guy. I have no doubt that he'll be a big part of what they do next year, and we'll see how good he is. Squirrel White, he'll be back. Like, I think he'll be back. I guess you can never say anything for sure in today's age of college football, but I think he'll be back, and he's a good player. He did not have the year that I think a lot of people expected from him. And, you know, the last basically month he was dealing with injuries, so there's that to factor in, yeah, as well. Brazel did not give them what they hoped for out of the portal. So what does that look like next year? They've got some younger guys that I think they're excited about. But quite frankly, Joe, like, they right now, to me, don't seem anywhere near good enough at wide receiver. And I'm really interested to see what they do about that this offseason. Can they do anything about that?
Yeah, and that's where it's disappointing, in that they have the recruiting at that position has been excellent, right? Per the recruiting, yeah, rankings, per the experts. I mean, my gosh, I would expect this staff to be fantastic at evaluating receivers and at knowing what works in this system. And one thing you obviously have to have, you got to have speed guys, which, again, I still think Dante Thornton this year could have been more there, but it's weird to see so many not working out and getting out of there. And yeah, they've got a Matthews needs to become a star next year. And I think he's got the tools to be a great player, but that's a big part of it. And they may add as well. I mean, they've lost a ton of depth,
yeah,
in the portal, but man, you've got to have, that guy's got to work out. Lenny here says Tennessee showed they didn't belong in the tournament any more than Indiana did. Lenny, they both belonged in the tournament. I mean, if we're going to do this, you know, the NFL playoffs last year, the average margin of victory was like 17.3. I think the first round of these playoffs was like 17.5 or 17.8 or something. Those NFL teams belong to, I mean, like, there's blowouts, man. Tennessee and Indiana both should have been in the tournament. Like, we're going to do this every time there's a blowout?
Well, there are blowouts in the four-team tournament, too. I mean, just, it is what it is sometimes.
Crazy blowout.
Like, you hope for better results, right? Like, look, you know, I've said it 1,000 times, I'm not a huge fan of the 12-team playoff, but it is what it is now, and we'll see. Hopefully, as we go along here, it creates better matchups in the future. There's no doubt this first round was unbelievably disappointing with the way that, yeah, it played out that way.
It was. The home sites were awesome. The games were bad. And to me, the fix is, if Boise State and Arizona State are in these games against SMU and Indiana or whatever, right? And like Notre Dame, Penn State, whatever, some of these teams that got blowouts are seeded correctly, then I think we probably have a good first round that then leads into the next round.
Yep.
That makes sense. The seeding is an issue, and that's got to change, I think, instantly.
Here's another thing on the Tennessee front that I'm interested to see if there's any appetite for this with the coaching staff. It's 2 years in a row, Joe, where they've been able to run the ball really well, and there's nothing wrong with that. Like, you know, running the ball has always been a big part of this offense. The passing game has been very disappointing. Now, I thought Nico got better as the year went on. And again, like, you know, you can point to his numbers on Saturday night. I didn't think he was their problem on Saturday night. And I think he's going to be fine as they move forward here. But it is 2 years in a row where the passing offense in general has left a lot to be desired. And you can blame that on the quarterback if you want to. And certainly I think both Milton and Nico, with some of the throws they've missed, play a part in that.
They're not Hendon Hooker from 2 years
ago. They're not Hendon Hooker from 2 years ago, and that's the biggest difference. I get all that. I do wonder if you have to take a look at like the way you're operating right now offensively and make some adjustments to it. I'm not saying you change up like the entire thing of what you're doing, but like you're also like not really doing what you were doing a couple years ago anyway when it comes to the way you're running your offense, and that's beyond just the quarterback. Like you're not going at warp speed. So exactly. If you're not going at warp speed, that's fine. I think you got to adjust what you're doing at that point because the route tree, we've talked about this before, it's not an overly extensive one, what they do with their receivers. And part of it is just getting lined up as quickly as possible and catching people off guard that way and going. If you're not going to do that, then I think you might need to make some adjustments as to your formations, just what you're doing out there offensively if you're hype on this offense.
No, it's a great point. They were not anywhere near the top of the nation in tempo this year. They were, I believe, number one 2 years ago. So you know how many plays they got with Hendon Hooker at quarterback where it was just like they just lined up and it's just boom, here's a quick little screen and you got 8 quick free yards because the defense couldn't react. And then you keep doing it and keep doing it. Huge part of the success. And I don't understand why that had to take a back seat. I mean, who is not able to execute it? Is it the OC? Is it the quarterback? Like, why are they not able to go at that speed? That has to be part of it. Because I don't think, because I hear you, I don't think Heupel's changing his offense. I think he's going to do this offense. But I think if you do it, then it has to be paired with tempo. And for whatever reason, like, I get that they were more of a run-based team this year. And Dylan Sampson was their best player, and so, but you can still do that with tempo. You know, I think it's a good question for Heupel, maybe, you know, in the off season, and I think that's got, if that's not part of this, if they can't get back to being one of the fastest teams in the country and put defenses in the stress and conflict that does, then I don't think they're going to be that great.
Well, and another, just adding to that. I know this offense is Heupel's baby, and he's still obviously heavily involved, and he's calling plays and all that stuff. I'd be taking a look at Joey Halsley too. Like, what is this?
Yep.
Is this really the best option you've got? And it's not necessarily that he's done a bad job, but can you find better would probably be the question I would be asking.
Yeah, look, I just don't see how that could just be dismissed. Some people want to dismiss it because I've seen some of the Vols media. You know, this is Heupel's offense. Okay, well, someone gets paid a whole lot of money to be the OC, and Alex Golish got a whole lot of credit when he was 2 years ago, and they were the best offense, and he got a head coaching job because of it. So does it matter or doesn't it matter? I think it matters. And Golish, by the way, swore up and down to me multiple times that he was calling the plays. Josh Heupel was not calling the plays.
Right.
So the idea that, OC, this is Heupel's baby, man, just like the Titans, that's still a hugely important job. Guys get head coaching jobs off that, even if they're not calling plays. So it absolutely needs to be looked at.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Preds pick to click coming up next. Preds in action tonight, taking on the Carolina Hurricanes. Be the first caller at 615-737-1025. We'll do that, give our final thoughts on the Vols and the Titans as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
It's time for Preds Picks to Click.
And a
shot to score.
Do you think you know who will score a goal in tonight's Predators game?
Little give and go.
Shoot your shot for a chance to win Preds tickets. Call 615-737-1025 now. It's Pick to Click, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road. Preds in action tonight, taking on the Carolina Hurricanes, the final game before the Christmas break. Puck drop 7 o'clock, pregame 6 o'clock here on 102.5, 106.3 the game. The standings in the competition. Joe Rexroad in first place with 6 correct answers. Now, Kuharski's gotten him 2 of them. So, Rexroad quickly being aided by Kuharski, our hockey expert here on the program. myself, Nick Kieser, and the listeners all tied with 3 for, I guess, second place there. So, Rexroad a significant lead in the competition to this point. With that in mind, we head to our 102.5 the game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Caleb to the program. Caleb, good morning. Thank you for calling in. Who is your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators?
Hey, guys. What's up? So, basically what you're saying is Kuharski is a better backup than Rudolph, right? Is that
yes,
what we're saying?
That's okay. A good way to put it.
Cool deal. All right. Well, give me the hot hand and give me Marchessault tonight.
Going with Jonathan Marchessault. Appreciate the call, Caleb.
Thanks, man. Bye.
So, Marchessault on a roll right now on a 6-game point streak. He is scoring a lot of goals for the Predators, so that's good to see. Rex Road, your pick to click for the Nashville Predators.
I will go Stamkos.
Going with Stamkos. Stamkos, Marchessault off the board. Nick Kieser, your pick to click.
One, Philip of Prince Forsberg will do for me. Hopefully he gets out of his bad little slump he's been on here lately.
It's quite the slump. He's not scored in
a while. I know, yeah.
So we'll see what that looks like for him tonight. You know what? Mark Jankowski. I'm going off the board.
Boom.
Me, Mark Jankowski. Find the back of the net tonight. Marchessault, Stamkos, Forsberg, Jankowski. I got a feeling, Joe. See how that goes for me.
I'm here for it.
I'm sure you are. I'm sure you're all. Joe, your final thoughts on the Titans and what we saw yesterday in that debacle against Indianapolis. The run defense was horrible. They made a late comeback toward the end. It didn't matter. They lost by 8 points to Indianapolis. And now we're sitting here today just mercifully awaiting the end of this football season.
Yeah, it's ugly, man. It is ugly. And again, you get into certainly job talk with everybody. So I'm trying to find this text and I've lost it. I apologize. Someone went off on me, basically with the idea that Callahan, that I said that I don't think he's like, basically, oh, so you think he's not in over his head because he has good press conferences. Again, I'm not saying he's done a good job at all. The question is does he have a chance to be a good coach? And again, it's all how much do you attribute this to he has a bad team? How much is that he did a bad job? I'm not saying he's done a good job by any means, but the question is he capable of being a coach? I would still guess yes. But again, I mean, with any of these guys and their jobs, the front office and the coaching staff, I mean, you have to be guessing to a point to think there's competence, right?
Yeah.
You don't have a ton to point to. That doesn't automatically always mean that everyone should be fired. But I think that Brian Callahan, I think it is an important finish to not keep having embarrassments, because that's what yesterday was. It was an embarrassment. I mean, it did not look like a professional football team, especially on the defensive side of the ball. And how else can you explain it? So everybody upset or wanting him fired, I get it. I'm just saying I think there is something there with him as a coach. We'll see if he finds it here or elsewhere or not at all.
I'm trending very quickly towards the everyone should be fired brigade. Very, very quickly, very rapidly in that direction. We'll discuss that more later in the week. Joe, Merry Christmas to you and your family. We'll be off the next 2 days for Christmas Eve and Christmas. Back at it on Thursday morning. Hope everybody has a fantastic Christmas out there.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Absolutely. Jason Big Joe is coming up next. Hope everybody has a wonderful rest of their day. We'll talk to you on Thursday morning here on 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
big color, bigger savings. Sherwin-Williams Super Sale is here. Get 40% off paints and stains June 5th through the 11th with prices starting at $30.89. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.